The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In our study of Nehemiah, we've come to the 9th chapter. Here we find that after celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in the right way for the first time since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, the Jews in Nehemiah's day didn't just disperse and go back to their daily lives. They engaged in a protracted meeting, continuing to worship God with zeal. They stayed focused on the Word of God, which brought conviction, separation, and confession. Join us today for the first half of this sermon entitled Preparing to Praise the Lord.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in every believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. And
The book of Nehemiah, we've come to the ninth chapter. We've gone all the way through the building, the rebuilding of the walls and the reconstruction of the gates that had been torn down and burned with fire. And we saw last time how that even though we wish that the next verse would have been, and they lived happily ever after, that's not the way it works in this life. The only happily ever after is in the ever after one day. But in this case, they're still here in this world. There's been a great victory, a great stance against the enemies of the kingdom of God, but they got to keep on keeping on. And we saw that they did that. They did that by going back to the Word of God. They got back to the book of the law, and they read in it, and in fact, they preached from it. I don't know what you call verse 8 of chapter 8, if it's not preaching. He said they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what we're trying to do every time we're up here in the pulpit, is to read in the book distinctly. And that's not telling little stories about little shallow tales about some moral lesson, okay? That's what you see sometimes out in the religious world. But here in our pulpits, in our churches, we hope that we're reading in the book of the law and we're reading it distinctly. That means we're getting it right, and we're trying to give the sense and cause the people who hear it to get the understanding of it. That's the purpose of preaching. So that's what I say that they were doing, is they were preaching, even though this was in Old Testament days. And then they found, and beginning down in the latter part of that chapter, how that they got to reading in the book of the law, and they realized that they had not performed the Feast of the Tabernacles in the right way since the time of Joshua, who was the successor to Moses. That's a long time. David didn't even get it right, apparently. I'm not saying there weren't maybe some people that constructed those booths like they were supposed to, but you remember that the law said that during the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, they were supposed to build these little temporary shelters out of tree boughs, tree limbs, and that sort of thing, and they were to dwell in them for 7 days to remind them of how they had wandered in the wilderness, and also to thank the Lord for his bounty in the first fruits of the harvest. But they hadn't done that, and I can see why. They probably said, well, you know, that's a neat little thing that I remember hearing about somebody doing, but we're really not going to do that. You know, that's just symbolic, isn't that right? That's just a symbolic thing, right? You know, I'm reminded sometimes about the foot washing service. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that do not do that. And I'm not here to criticize those churches that don't, but I'm just saying, you know, most of the time they say, well, that's symbolic. But I read about where Jesus said, you ought to do it. My daddy didn't mean it was optional when he told me I ought to do something, you know. But the point is this, is that they got all the way back, that, you know, if you go back, looking back in history, if you go back to the old paths, as he says we're to do, we got to go back far enough. If they had just gone back to their daddies or granddaddies or even great-granddaddy's day, it would not have been far enough. And the same for us. You haven't gone back far enough unless you've gone all the way back to the Bible, all the way back to what it says. And so we saw that they were doing that. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles is over now, and they have come out on the other side, having participated in that Feast of the Tabernacles in the right way for the first time ever. And then we're told in verse 18 of chapter 8 that day by day they read in the book of the law, and they kept that feast and had a solemn assembly. And then in chapter 9, we move from the Feast of the Tabernacles into the next phase of their lives, which is just their daily lives. They're getting ready to start the rest of the year, so to speak. But I want you to notice what they're doing here. They are still engaging in public worship. They're still worshiping the Lord. And in this case, what we want to talk about tonight, we're not going to try to tackle this whole chapter because it's a pretty long chapter and there's a lot in it. But in this case, we're going to see in chapter 9 that this is basically a sermon that starts off focusing upon the Lord and traces through the history of Israel and God's involvement in their history and showing us how great a God our God is. And remember, history is just His story. It's the story of God and His involvement in our lives. And we as a church, we can learn much from the experiences of Israel, and we can learn much from the history even of our of the church, as long as we remember that God is providentially involved in the things that happen. He's not causing all the things that happen, but He's always there, and He's moving, and He's working. If you go over some time, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, we're told these things, talking about the nation of Israel and their wanderings in the wilderness and all of the things that we read about in the Old Testament. These things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then skip down to verse 11, it says, these things happen unto them for examples and are written for our admonition. So what we're reading here today is written for our admonition, okay? So let's look at what they did. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 9. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worship the Lord their God. Now in these first three verses, we see them preparing to praise the Lord. They're preparing to engage in this public worship. As a matter of fact, I would say the public worship has already begun. And I want you to notice where they went. They went to the Word of God. They have just come out from reading in the Word of God for 8 days. They have been here focusing upon what the Word of God says. And the Word of God here brought conviction in their lives. Now, when I say that, don't misunderstand me. I understand the Spirit of God has to move. I understand also, and I hope you do, that there can be no conviction from the Word of God if the Spirit of God hadn't already regenerated us. You know, there's no issue. We're not interested in the things. What is there to be convicted about when all we know are the natural things of life? You know, so these are regenerated people, children of God, like you and I. So maybe we can get a lesson from this. But notice what happened. When the Word of God was read, it brought conviction. So here we've got the Feast of the Tabernacles. They've had this festival, this celebration. It's ended, but the people stayed to hear more of the Word of God. You ever gotten to the end of our annual meeting and it's wrapped up with the last sermon and the last prayer and the last time of fellowship, and you think, man, I wish we could stay here another day or two. I know it's sometimes a long weekend, but I never have gotten to the end of one of our annual meetings. My body might be tired and ready to rest, but especially one where the Spirit has been moving, we say, oh, Lord, I just wish we had just one more sermon, just one more time to be together like that, you know. And now there, I've been to some meetings where I was, honestly, to be frank about it, I was glad they were over. You know, I was glad to move on. But we've had those meetings here where we've been wanting it to go on and on forever. And it reminds us that one day it will go on and on forever. We won't have to go back out and hit the pavement again and start dealing with that old human nature like we do every week, okay? But here these people, they stayed to hear more of the Word of God. You know, I'm sorry to say most of us today can hardly sit here for 30 minutes. You know, I'm thankful here among the Primitive Baptists, we're not used to those little short 10 or 15 or 20 minute sermons. You know, I told you my little kind of comical story about when I was sworn in back in January, all of us who were sworn in as judges or justices, we had a few minutes to speak, and the Chief Justice said, now, we want to keep it short. We don't want long sermons, so she said, just treat it like a short sermon. Well, there was a little miscommunication because she wasn't a Primitive Baptist. You know, and a short sermon for Primitive Baptists is a little different than a short sermon for most people in the world. A difference of 15 or 20 minutes sometimes. But I kid about that. But I'm thankful that our people, we're used to sermons that are filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word of God, and that we're not just trying to get in and out and get back to our lives. Praise God for that. But we have a hard, you know, we have a hard time as soundbite citizens that just want a little snippet here and there, a little TikTok maybe of the sermon and then move on. We have a hard time in the culture we live in sitting here like this. But these people were there. It says they stood up on the fourth part of the day. They read the book of the law, and the other fourth part of the day they confessed and worshiped. They were preaching and praying and worshiping the Lord for half a day. Half a day. You know, this was a three-hour preaching service, so to speak, and then a three-hour prayer service. You know, most people, it would be hard to get people to sign up for that in the day in which we live. But when the Word of God brings conviction, people are affected by that. The people will stay. They stayed and they reacted. They're feasting. This festival they were in, their feasting turned into fasting. We're told that they were the children of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth and earth upon them. They're feasting. These people dressed in sackcloth and ashes, which is a sign of their humility and their repentant hearts and their conviction over the sins that they had committed. You know, after the Battle of Ai over there, that was the second battle going into the Promised Land, and there was a problem. You remember the man took the accursed thing, and he had kept it, and then they got beat at Ai. The children of Israel got beat at Ai, and we're told when Joshua found out what had happened, he rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord. And then the elders of Israel, and he says they put dust or dirt upon their heads. They were groveling in the dirt, if you will. Now, in this age of promoting self-esteem, I think it would probably be frowned upon if I went out in some counseling session with someone who's struggling and say, what you need to do is you need to get out in the dirt and you need to grovel before the Lord. You know, but that's what they did. They visibly showed their conviction in that way. You know, I understand you can forget about the grace of God and get yourself in a position where all you do is think so lowly of yourself that you can't, you know, you don't feel like that you can even serve the Lord. I'm not talking about some kind of loss of view of the grace of God in our lives, but I'm telling you, beloved, the problem generally we have in this nation is not too little self-esteem, it's too much self-esteem. It's too much. We think too highly of ourselves, and we want what we want, and we want it now. But these people understood that they were lowly in the sight of God by nature, and they showed it, okay? I'm reminded of what happened over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when he's preaching primarily to the Corinthians about speaking in tongues. But there's a couple of verses there, verses 24 and 25, where Paul sort of changes. He said, look, here's what happens. This is what should happen when you're speaking in tongues. You should have people to interpret. He's given them the rules there. He said, but I'd really rather you all prophesy. It's much better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. In other words, and prophesy just means to speak forth. It's preaching, okay? And he said, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he says he's convinced of all, he's judged of all, not of the people, but of the words. In other words, he comes in and he hears the preaching, and those words that the preacher is preaching to him, it gets a hold of his heart. And he's already been born of the Spirit, clearly. We're not talking about the kind of unbeliever that has not been ever born again. We're talking about those who just don't know what the Word of God says. And that preaching gets to him. The words judge him in his heart, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Notice he didn't say, he'd jump up and say, hey man, y'all need me. Y'all need me. You know, I get the feeling sometimes the preaching and teaching in the world is that, you know, the Lord's just waiting on us and just you know, can't hardly wait. He's waiting with bated breath until we volunteer for his service. Well, beloved, we ought to volunteer for his service, but we ought to remember that God doesn't need us. You know what he told those Pharisees over there that were complaining about the hosannas that were being spoken as he rode that donkey into Jerusalem? He said, I tell you, if these kept their mouths shut, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. Creation shows forth the glory of God. Now, we ought not to make it so that the rocks have to cry out. We need to be crying out to him and praising him. And the rock, you know, it'd be a shame for us if we had to say, well, that's all we got left are rocks over here, because we won't cry out his praises. But you see, here we see that the word of God brings conviction. Turn with me back over to Ezra just for a minute. And Ezra is also, it's a companion book to Nehemiah in a sense. You remember Ezra got back from Babylon to Jerusalem before Nehemiah, about a 14-year period there. And some of the things, and what we're going to read about just for a second here, happened before Nehemiah got back over there. But what we want to see in chapter 9 of Ezra, this is a previous time when Ezra had demonstrated conviction and repentance before the children of God. And I don't want to get into the, you can read the context, but just let's just jump in there for lack of time in verse 1. He said, and when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. He's saying here, what he's getting here is a report that even the priests and the Levites were going against the law of God by mixing and mingling in marriage and giving their children in marriage to these pagan peoples over there. In verse 2, it's what he says, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So the report Ezra's getting here is that the people who ought to know better aren't doing better. They aren't, you know, we got to remember, by the way, that over here in, I believe it's in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, to whom much is given shall much be required. You know, there's things that I could probably have gotten away with out in my, you know, in my earlier years before I became a member of Zion Church, before I became a pastor or an ordained minister, that God won't let me get away with anymore. Now, I'm not talking about eternally. There's nothing we do as children of God. We're all forgiven, right? Every single sin is forgiven eternally. But there are things that are consequences here. And here we have princes and rulers that ought to know better. And look at what they've done. And look what Ezra did. He said, when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. It got to him. It convicted him when he heard these things. You know why it convicted him? Because he knew what the Word of God said. You remember Josiah? You remember, we've talked about that many times here. Josiah knew something was wrong when he was a young king, but when they found the book of the law and read it to him, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. Sin became exceeding sinful to him. And it says in verse 4, this is what I wanted to get to. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And then he began to pray. At the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, having rent my garment and my mantle, fell on my knees, spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up under the heavens. And we keep reading there, and he begins to lay out all of the confession of his sins there. And here's the point. Look at that kind of conviction. He was astonished for hours on this day. He sat down almost like he was in a trance. It was like he was so shocked he could not stand it. Think about the things you see on the evening news. Think about the things that occur. I think about sometimes when we've gone out to Las Vegas. Brother Craig's been out there. Oh, there's Brother Buddy. And this is absolutely not a knock on the Las Vegas folks. There's children of God out there. There's a church out there. But if you live in that area and you drive down the road and look up, you know, there's billboards everywhere. There's billboards that if they were erected over in Tuscaloosa, in fact, there was one not too many years ago, I remember, that was put up in Tuscaloosa that was a very revealing image of a woman and some suggestive language and all that. And there was an outcry over that. People were offended by that and shocked. Nobody's offended out there because it's so commonplace. And again, I'm not talking about our folks out there. I'm talking about just in general, children of God have gotten immune and they've gotten hardened to that kind of thing. You know, there are things that are on the evening news today that my grandmother would have passed out.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.